Good evening, everyone. This is Ebony Johnson. You're tuned to Ebony's Bones here on 90.1 FM. I'm your host, and alongside me is our co-host and resident historian, Professor A.J. Lowe.
Whoop, whoop!
And today we are going to have a bit of fun. We're going to take a little break from having a call-in guest and just have a kitchen table conversation with us and you. So we're relying on y'all to call in and share your feedback, but today's show is what's going on. And there are a few topics that Professor Lowe and I have discussed amongst ourselves, and we want to have that conversation with you on air. So feel free to give us a call and join in the conversation at 816-931-5534. Again, that's 816-931-5534. And the first topic that we want to talk about, Professor Lowe, we had a situation where we heard an older gentleman talk about how he was not for women preachers. And that sparked you sending a Facebook message out to say that there is a tie between old school chivalry and toxic masculinity. And
yes.
You received quite a few comments.
Yes. So what I was doing when I heard the statement, I didn't say anything because, you know, I just didn't say anything for out of respect. And but what it did is it got me to thinking, is that this gentleman is considered a chivalrous gentleman, you know, very well respected, but his views on women are kind of interesting. So what I did is I thought about all those ideas of what we think what toxic masculinity is. As far as men paying for everything, right? As far as, and I'm not just talking about men holding the door open, but as far as women walking behind the man, or the man being the person, the end all be all when it comes to leadership in the family. And what I started realizing, I started realizing that a lot of this old school chivalry that we love, or that we appreciate, that women appreciate, I started realizing that that old school chivalry that we appreciate is actually might be connected to some toxic masculinity. And I think they really might go really hand in hand.
And in what ways? Because I noticed some people on your Facebook post said you was reaching. some people agree with you, though. But I do want you to share for yourself in what ways.
So what I mean by that is that as far as like, the ideas when it comes to gender roles, the ideas that women are trying to get away from, I believe, come with ideas of what we know as traditional chivalry. Do you understand what I mean? Like, excuse me. For example, the idea that men are the end all be all when it comes to control, or controlling, in a controlling relationship. Like, women appreciate the fact of that, or the thought of that, when it comes to chivalry, but then they do not appreciate the fact when a man is absolutely controlling. So when I think about old school chivalry, I think about when, what came to my mind several times is the color purple, right?
In what way?
As far as some of the toxic masculinity that comes with the chivalry. Like saying, okay, well, I like this woman. I will, like literally go get her, right? And then when I get her, it's a controlling situation. So most women don't like to be in a controlling situation, yet they want the man to take control. So my question is, can you have your cake and eat it too? So I'm curious to know how you feel about that, because what I noticed is that, and I didn't want to say this on Facebook because I'm not putting on anybody on blast, but what I'm saying is that I noticed that a lot of the responses that I was getting were coming from single females, and that a lot of the women that were agreeing with me were usually in relationships.
Well, all right. So to context this conversation,
please.
I am not in a relationship. Well, we're in relationship to everything, ourselves and everyone else. But as far as being dating, have a boyfriend or whatever, for lack of a better term, here is, I do believe, I can see what you're saying about some of the ties and us really probably needing to get to the point of, okay, well, when you say you want this, you have to realize it comes with that. You know, you can't, it's like the wet that comes with the rain. I mean, you know, you can't pray for rain and then get mad about getting wet,
right?
You know, and in this scenario, at first I didn't think about it that much until you started talking more about it. And I can see how, well, yeah, if I subscribe to, I'm going to basically, in some shape and form, now hear me out, I want to say this delicately because I respect people having their religious beliefs and, you know, and spiritual practices and whatnot, but in some shape and form, if I submit myself to be what others may consider owned by somebody else, mm-hmm. in the sense that you belong to me, you're mine,
right?
And I have say so over you. I make the money and I make all the decisions and you're a part of that.
Right.
Even though you are your own being in your own right, it can go that way. And I feel even with in my experience with women who do hold that belief, their household doesn't necessarily operate that way, where they actually do subscribe to their husbands just getting the final say on everything. And or if it does, they have a lot of issues with feeling suppressed and feeling controlled. And not, like, on the one hand, maybe they feel they have financial security and perhaps some physical security and things of that nature. But on the other hand, there's another part of them that is extremely suppressed. And maybe that comes out then in toxic masculinity because of the repression.
And what I was noticing is that when we start talking about chivalry, we confuse chivalry with just being polite. Right? Like holding a door open for a person or a woman. Like, I would consider that being polite as opposed to old school chivalry. Like, old school chivalry, for example, I have met young ladies who believe that a man, especially during the courting stage, should pay for everything. Mm-hmm. Well, me thinking that is like, okay, well, you making a man, you're expecting this gentleman to pay for everything, pay for all the meals or however you guys decide to kick it. He has to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, for a guy who cares about money, he's going to start feeling some type of possessive, like, or to the point to where, well, I'm paying for everything, why should I even let you have a say so? And I know guys like that.
I want to give everybody an opportunity to call in and weigh in on this subject, toxic masculinity and old school chivalry. The number is 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. The lovely Ronkia Bates is on the other side of the glass and will take your call. I want to read one of the comments that was very interesting to me when you post this subject on your Facebook from Adrian Bate. She said, "I talk about this often. Chivalry was based on Victorian standards of behavior of knights.
Yes.
At that time, women were essentially viewed as property. That's where we get the term Mrs., meaning she is Mister's, i.e. belongs to Mr. Let me read it.
Sorry.
I don't really interchange the term chivalrous with a quality man for those reasons. These were rules of engagement for the elite classes. Essentially, how to woo a duchess. It's really grooming obedience and deference. Chivalry is rooted in an orientation of women's inferiority, no matter how nice it appears on the surface. This is yet another area where we should really decolonize our thinking. We aren't Victorian era / Middle Ages Europeans from the wealth class."
And what she's saying is absolutely correct, especially in regards to like Victoria era gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we talk about in my class, my United States history class, my U.S. History 121 class, where it involves... where we discuss transition from the 1800s to the 1900s, the idea of Victoria-era gender roles becomes a real thing because of men having women wear corsets. I mean, the whole idea of a woman wearing a corset, I mean, of course, like, we are now in an area now where women get to make that choice, but the idea of wearing a corset, especially 100 years ago, was to be... to fit in what the definition of what a woman is being defined by a man. Mm-hmm. So, and which I believe is another form or another form of toxic masculinity because you are conforming to this gentleman, right?
Right. We do have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello, Brandy Johnson calling from New Jersey. And my comment question is for the beginning of the show when Professor Lowe discussed the older gentleman saying he disagrees with women pastors, preachers.
Yes.
And my comment or just question to pose is, how is it that at least in society today, women, which kind of have always been that way, is women are the dominant source of raising children, raising generations. Like, we bear the brunt of that responsibility. So how is it that for their childhood and young adult life, we are responsible? We are the main educators and things like that of taking care of them in the home. But once you step outside of the home, it's just like now all of that is cut off. So if we're responsible for the upbringing of civilization, then why couldn't we run a country? Why couldn't we run a church, be the pastor of a church? And men have been dominating for how long? And we see the state that religion is in and the state that the country and the world is in. So it's kind of like, so who's, yeah, what's the issue here? You know, with women being able to right. lead, because we lead our households, we right. lead our children.
Right.
So I don't want to be too long-winded, but that was just my comment question. Well,
thank you,
and thank you for. What you bring up is a great point. The idea that women are weak when women bring life into the world. And there is not a man that I've ever met that can bring a life into a world. And I'll go even farther and say that when men have things like kidney stones, that stuff, I've heard gentlemen almost passing out trying to pass a kidney stone. And those are little pebbles. So imagine trying to pass a watermelon. Like, we would die.
You're referring to a child as a watermelon.
Child. And yeah. I mean, I'm just
clarifying.
Of course, I'm being a little facetious, but what I'm saying is that in all reality, women give, they bring life into the world. So the idea that this woman is like weak is I view that as disrespectful.
Well, I think that's why I feel as though we are having the challenges, because we are attempting to live in a falsehood. Like, you know, whenever you're, think about what literally there are studies that have been done about the effects of what lying does to your body, and we think it is nothing, you know, like, oh, I could tell a lie, nothing's going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. But there are actual scientific studies on what actually happens when we hold lies in our bodies.
Right.
And what, to me, all the ailments and things that we're facing is because we are attempting to live out of alignment with who we and what we naturally are. Even in the situation with, if you look at the rest of nature, there are seasons, there are ebbs and flows, and there are, you know, it's ways that there is universal laws and natural flows to birth and death and life, and we act like that doesn't have anything to do with us, and we can operate however we want to operate, whenever we want to operate. As if we're not a part of the rest of nature.
Yeah.
That's what, as if nature, it doesn't have its own divine intelligence.
Right.
But then you see how that's not working out for us, because we see the levels of heart disease, the levels of other diseases and ailments that are caused. We see the levels of how many people suffer in their relationships because we think we can own another person. And in all actuality, we can't. We think we can control another person's behavior. And in all actuality, we can't. But we suffer from attempting to do just that.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so back to Ms. Johnson's question. About being the head of the household, or, you know, because women are, like I said, they bring the life. But even when we start thinking about the head of household, we think about a man. And I've heard women say, well, I want a man to lead the household. Even that idea comes from an idea where women didn't have the opportunity outside of the household in order to make money. So if a woman married a dude, then it's, you're here to make babies and make sure that this place stays clean. the idea of you going out and getting a job is not going to be a real idea, because who's going to hire you? Well, now we're in this place where women can not just get hired but make more money than men, and it makes men feel uncomfortable. Like, as if, oh, well, you know, this right here does not, I cannot define my manhood unless I'm actually controlling this house.
And I can, obviously, I'm not a man, but I will say, if it had been ingrained in me that this is who I am in society, even if there's a part of me that doesn't believe that, there's still that part of me that probably would feel that way. Mm-hmm. If I had grown up just entrenched in these consistent thoughts and belief systems of, well, you're a man, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to be able to behave like this, perform like this, show up like this. And so then when and if I don't reach those standards, then I feel as if I'm a failure, because I have listened to and to some degree subscribed to this falsehood about who I'm supposed to be.
Right. And I think that the what had me really thinking about this, because I'm taking in exactly what you're saying as far as adjusting your mindset, because I grew up with the mindset like this, you know, exactly like this, the man leads. And, you know, even though I was seeing physical representations of strong women all the time, my grandmother, my mother, 100% are strong women. Absolutely. My grandmother did not play no mess. But at the same time, I'm being told by the men, well, this is how you're supposed to act. So when I get away from that ideology and then you start dating and women want you to fall back into that ideology, it's like, well, do you really want me to bring the toxic masculinity that comes with it? Well, you could separate that. Well, how could you separate that if you're telling me that you want me to leave the home? Even though, like, if you telling me that I need you to walk in front of me, which is something I absolutely, I don't like that. I detest that. I don't like walking in front of anybody, especially, like, that's just me. That is a personal thing for me. And usually...
go ahead and finish your sentence, why you don't like doing it.
So, when I was in my last relationship, my girlfriend and I, we used to travel around the world. And we went to, there was one incident where we went to Dubai. Anytime we traveled out internationally, I would prefer to have her in front of me so I could see her. So I, you know, if anything happens, you know, I could see, make sure she's good. And when we were in Dubai, I noticed it was a little situation. Well, it was 100 degrees. And she, you know, she took her little cover off and she had a tank top and exposed her shoulders, and I noticed how the men reacted to that. And they were probably reacting a little differently. I don't know if it was because she was walking in front of me, but I'm guessing it was because of her shoulders. Whatever it was, I just prefer the young lady to walk in front of me, especially when we're out of town. So I can, you know, if I'm here to protect, I at least need to be able to see you. But the idea, and I've had people approach me like, you know, I prefer a man to walk in front, and I prefer a man to pick up the tab, and I prefer a man to control the home. And I'm thinking all of those things come with a adverse effect, at least one I could recognize.
All right, that'll do it for this part. We're going to continue on our next just kind of what's going on topic. We're going to talk about, are we sacrificing ourselves for the American economy? You can give us a call and join in the conversation at 816-931-5534. We're going to take a station break and we'll be back after these messages. And we're back here on Ebony's Bones doing our What's Going On show, so we can just get out in the open some several topics that we've talked about offline and out of the show. And we just want to have an open show to be able to discuss these. So our next topic that Professor Law and I have been talking about is, are we sacrificing ourselves for the American economy? And the inspiration from this one came about with, well, again, you being frustrated with seeing folks out at bars and out at different places, and we have different non-essential, if you will, businesses open, and we are experiencing COVID-19 cases on the rise and a whole host of other unsafe scenarios going on, but yet we want our economy to grow, so then we want to come back and be out in the open.
Which I don't necessarily think that, you know, we are trying to slowly open back up. I think that most people will agree that there's very few places that aren't open. Now, they might not keep the same hours that they were. For example, like Walmart closes at like 8:30 now. But you have some stores that are staying open till 9. You know, oh, you got to wear a mask. But at the same time, like, we got bars open and restaurants open. And what... we can get the caller. Let's get the caller.
All right. We do have a caller, William Rector, calling from Lawrence, Kansas. William, you're on the line. Please go ahead with your question or comment. You're on the air. Please go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for putting me on the air. I learned something on KKFI. I missed my segment, but there's some correspondence between the King of England and Christopher Columbus, and then the two guys who came after him, and how they broke those natives. Was breaking their bond with their women, you know. So like somehow we need to freaking like be rebonded, not unbonded, you know. Like the history of this gentleman stuff is all wrapped up in that, you know. Like they made the women a something instead of a person, you know. Like they subjectified them so bad, and so we got to find a way out of that, man. I mean, like we're still living under the king's rule. I mean, people need to challenge themselves. I don't know what the answers are, but education and KKFI taught me about these correspondence. I've done some more research on my own. But, like, we got to break the king's rule, y'all. We're still under the rule of the King of England from freaking 400 years ago.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the call, William.
Thanks for what you're doing.
No problem. Yeah, and I appreciate William's call, even though we're trying to stay moving forward, but I do appreciate him saying that because that is very interesting, especially in regards to breaking the bonds with the women.
And Ronkia has something to say.
Yeah, so let's go back.
Ronkia's going to wait. No, I don't know if she's going back. She may be talking about the sacrificing ourselves, but she's on the other side of the glass, so we'll see. Ronkia, what's up? Uh-oh. Are you talking, Ronkia? Uh-oh. We got a scenario. Buttons are pressed here, but I'm not hearing her, so we're gonna have to figure that out, because I'm not sure why we're not hearing you, Ronkia, but I'll come over and check that out. But go ahead, Professor Lowe, with what you wanted to say about are we sacrificing ourselves.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that, you know, a couple of my friends have been trying to get me to go to some bars and some restaurants. I was a little upset yesterday because my cousin asked to hang out, and he wanted to go to a bar, and I told him, you know, I love you, but I just don't mess with nobody's bar, nobody's restaurant right now. And what is, you know, ironic is that, you know, I've had several family members and cousins that actually have COVID that actually... You know, and that was one of them that actually wanted to hang out. And I was like, dude, the reason why I'm not going to a bar is because of what happened to you.
Yeah,
I'm not going because you got sick. So what I'm saying is, and like I told my friend, because I like to shoot pool. And I haven't shot pool in quite a while. It's like been 5 months. And he was like, you know, one of my buddies said, hey, let's go. You know, I know we can find a bar with the pool table open. And I had to tell him, like, why would I go to that? Like, you know, we're still on lockdown. We're still a pandemic. And what he was confusing was my critical thinking to fear. One of my Facebook friends said that. She said, you know, people confuse critical thinking with fear. Because my statement was, I'm not going in. I don't care if it's open or not. I'm not going in because we're not really supposed to be gathering, whether I got a mask on or not. People are still getting sick. And if I'm going and I'm having a couple of drinks, I'm going to start letting my guard down. Certain things like I do now that I have become the new normal for me, like washing my hands all the time, like wearing my mask, being careful of what I touch, that's going to start getting lax if I start getting inebriated.
I'm not talking about it being right, wrong, good, or bad, but just is. I definitely feel as though it was easier to influence people when it was chillier outside to stay home. But once we went into summertime and we had already been in, and in winter months and, you know, and earlier in the spring, it, you know, we have a tendency to be in a little bit more. once the summertime comes, I think it is extremely difficult by nature to keep people in. COVID or not, I'm just saying by people's nature, I think it's difficult for people to stay in. I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm just saying I think that. And that push for, especially in particular for me in our economy, well, when we have a scenario when the wage gaps are so disparate the way that they are in America, in the United States, when our basic needs are not really met, when we have the policies and procedures that we have in place to not ensure that our citizens are just treated as if you have shelter and food because you're here, like the rest of nature, period. And people can disagree on that, but I really, in the past few years, I really started rethinking that of, well, the rest of nature doesn't work to eat or doesn't work to have shelter. Shelter and food and whatnot is provided just by their being here and just by what the earth produces in and of itself. And so in the situation of us turning into just these little worker bees to produce stuff so that other people can have stuff, and then we just keep producing and producing and producing stuff, and then at our own expense, because we live a lifestyle that I personally observe that is killing us. The lifestyle period that we live is killing us, and we try to do all these things around it, but it is the lifestyle itself that is not conducive to our natural biorhythm.
My darling Ebony has been reading Sapien again.
Whatever. No, I haven't.
I'm saying that, I mean, when because she was heavily on that book when it came out, and she was trying to explain to me why Homo sapiens do what we do. And it's okay. I know you're giving me the evil look. I still love you, darling. But I mean, on some level, I would agree with you. I have to agree with you because, like, he explains it, like you were explaining, because I haven't read the book yet, but as you were explaining, like, the more complex our society gets, the more and more we have to get away from doing what is natural. For example, like you said, working 12 hours a day or working 8 hours a day isn't something in that. But then again, you got to work that hard in order to feed yourself.
But that's the point. Having to work like that to have food is crazy.
I'm saying that if there were no buildings, no nothing, and we were out here in the wilderness, you would still be working that hard to feed yourself.
I'm not saying, but we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. Like, I don't think so, because if I'm walking down the street and there's an apple tree and I could just pick an apple off that tree and eat it, that's okay. Not a lot of work.
Okay. No, what we're doing is we can't mix, because in nature, then we don't have these buildings. There's no buildings. There's no civilization. We're just out here. Do you know how to fish?
No, but I know people who do. Okay. I mean, I don't think I have to do everything.
I'm saying,
I don't need to hunt. I'm vegetarian.
Okay, cool.
But see, then again, you're asking me, and that's that individualistic mindset that we push in America.
No.
I don't, hear me out.
Go ahead.
Hear me out. You're getting ready to go down this list of, do I know how to do all of these individual things? But I don't live alone. I don't live in a vacuum. I live in community.
Oh, you want the man
and
to
so
do it.
No, I didn't say that. And you better quit interjecting. I didn't say that. What I am saying is, it is not just me. I am a part of community. And there are things that I know how to do, and there are things that I don't know how to do, just like everybody else. But I rely on my community members to do certain things, and they can rely on me for certain things.
I got
you. And that's what I'm saying. We're, you know, being in that capacity, but in a capacity where life is about living, not the priority in the center of my existence is around working, and then all my other relationships have to go around that. And so when we ask the question of, are we sacrificing ourselves for the American economy, I believe we've already done that.
Well, oh yeah, 100%. I'm talking about in the middle of a pandemic. Remember, there was
I know you are, but I'm saying I think this is showing us what has already been happening with
yeah,
this.
COVID is exposing a lot of issues that we are having in the United States. For example, our dependence on slave labor. Like, we like to think that, oh, slavery is over. But one of the things that you start to see in the northern areas is you start to see, especially after the revolutionary period where slavery starts going away, is you start to see this push towards wage labor as opposed to slavery. Mm-hmm. It's actually very interesting, because if you give a person a wage that's not really a living wage, then they're closer to slavery as opposed to, like, the next step is actually being owned by somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're now a slave to your employer. Now you have to go to work. Because whether you're sick or not, because you have to put food on the table, and this job is what's providing it to you.
And that's why people are going to work now. I'm not saying that some people aren't doing jobs and services that they genuinely enjoy and they want to do them. But in a lot of cases, there are people who are fearful of being exposed to COVID-19, which I think by virtue of us being out and it being the air, we're all exposed to it. But there are people who would rather not work, but that's their source of income. And that's their means to their livelihood. And so they're going to go and they're going to sacrifice themselves in order to do it.
What I noticed, what I thought was fascinating, is you see the business owners complaining. Like, why do we have to shut down? Like, nobody's supporting our business. And mm-hmm. we're going to go broke if we don't open this back up. As if their businesses are worth more than our lives. There was they had a push called Bar Lives Matter, B-A-R Lives Matter. And I'm thinking to myself, who cares? Who cares? If you go bankrupt, who cares?
Well, the bar owners are in the same scenario, because if they don't know, hear me out. You're not even listening to
that. Yes, ma'am.
I'm saying they're in the same scenario as the worker, because the reason they want those bars to be back open is so that they can make money, so that they can provide food and for their shelter and their expenses and all the things that they got. Call it greed or whatever, but they're still running from that scenario.
Now, if those bar owners are having to make it check to check, then that is mismanagement of their own funds, or their bar just wasn't making that much money.
Well, that's true for the bigger businesses, too. You see how long some of them lasted.
Yeah.
We have Kurt on line one. Kurt, you're on the air from Kansas City. Please state your comment or question.
Yeah, I really appreciate this show. This is wonderful.
Thank you.
There's a lot of this discussion's about, is it this or is it that? And my understanding of neuroscience is that those are all a bunch of myths, that everything is fluid, and that we have divided things up in terrible ways before, but in everything, whether it be gender roles or gender, all different types of things, the gay, lesbian, trans thing, it's all fluid. There's no categories. We all are different. Now, we talked about COVID, and I'd like to get on my soapbox here for a second. There are a couple articles out there that are promoting this, but it's not catching on fast. We could have a $1 a day test that you take before you leave the house in the morning, and if you test positive for COVID, you stay home. And it's only $1 a day, so that's $200 million a day for this country, which is nothing. You know, it takes a while to get to a billion, let alone a trillion, doing that. And we've given away trillions of dollars. So this is cheap, and it's effective, and everybody takes responsibility for themselves, and we could put an end to this virus.
You know what?
Rapid testing, antigen testing, it's like a pregnancy test. And we need to have these out and manufactured so everybody can have one. Pick up a 30-pack, and you're good for a month.
And
it should be free.
Thank you for your call, man. Thank you. I do agree with you on that one, as far as definitely the COVID test. And like you said, if you take 250 million people and put it $1 a day, there are actual people that have $250 million. Like, I can name several people who have $250 million by themselves. Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Exactly.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
But at the same time, you still have a president that refuses to believe that this is, and not only that, you have a president and followers who refuse to believe that this is actually a thing. So, you know, and that is something that I feel like is definitely going to cause the crumble of the United States, because we can't shut down enough long enough because the United States government is not willing to say, okay, well, here's a living wage for X amount of months so we can shut down and we can get rid of this thing. Instead, it's like, well, everybody's going to get it. And if you notice, you see a conscious attempt or a conscious effort on behalf of the government to try to stop testing because they don't want the numbers to go up. So...
And then there's controversy on whether or not some of those, there are some people in the medical field who are coming out who are saying that they want everybody to write down that the COVID is the cause of death, or COVID is this, is that, and the other. So there's so much information out there,
you know,
that people are deciphering through. And I'm not saying right, wrong, good, or bad. I'm just saying it is.
Understood.
And so when we get upset about people who believe differently, well, everybody is finding information that says one thing, and then there's some information that says another. So each person is trying to discern for themselves what's true.
You know what I've really noticed behind this COVID situation is that the issue with the internet, like, you and I look back at the cult coronavirus, and I look back at another virus that affected me major when I was younger in the 1990s.
Don't be ashamed of your age.
In the late 80s, early 90s, yikes, that I really just zeroed in on that. The late 80s, early 90s, there was the AIDS virus that was going around. And what I noticed is the information between the AIDS virus and the coronavirus is like, during the AIDS virus, everybody thought that they understood where it came from. People were talking about how you can get it off a toilet seat, you can get it from shaking somebody's hand. But as the information started coming out, one of the things they found out is that this thing is highly transmittable with as far as sexually transmitted diseases. Understood. The word was from the doctors, wear condoms. Condom use can take your exposure down. I mean, you should, if you're exposed, you still want to get tested, but your chances of getting it go down drastically if you use a condom. You didn't hear people saying, well, you don't know that condom use actually prevents that, or what study are you looking at? I mean, even then, when people said, all right, well, you know, if somebody said, well, I'm not going to wear a condom, you know, I'll just see if... Nobody, everybody looked at you crazy, like, bro, just wear it.
All right, Rakia is going to weigh in. Rakia, go ahead.
Okay, so I kind of want to go back and talk about something that has to do with gender roles, what you were talking about earlier. I had told Ebony that I feel like a relationship should be a 50-50 thing because I don't believe in one person just doing all the work. If you get what I mean. I don't feel like every time you guys go on out, like every time a woman goes out on a date with a man, that a man should have to pay. I feel like sometimes a woman should pay too. I feel like it just shouldn't be all on him, because put yourself in a man's shoes. Like, how would you feel if you was out on a date with somebody every time y'all went out and they expected you to pay?
Situations like that. I was dating a young lady and we were cool. I always used to enjoy her conversation, but every time the check would come, she would start staring into space as if there's like a space launch and she's watching the space launch carefully. She would stare off into space as if, you know, she's not seeing the check. So I know exactly what you mean. And I appreciate when a young lady pays. That makes me say, okay, well, I'll definitely get the next one.
One of the things that I want to point out to Ronkia, if you don't mind, is that Ronkia is in her 20s. And that could have a level of influence because you may not have had as heavily, it may not have been passed down as heavily or the expectation.
Yeah, and then on top of that, like, I'm the only child. So I've always been independent. So with me, like, when it comes to, like, going out with somebody, like going on a date, I definitely don't mind picking up the tab sometimes. You know, I don't mind doing that. I just don't feel like every time you go out on a date with someone that the man should have to pay.
I just don't feel like that.
All right. Well,
thank
what other
you, Ronkia.
Okay.
All right. Ronkia's doing kind of double duty with, okay. with picking up the calls.
So we let Ronkia
Yeah, but we easy. Do have to, we're going to take our caller call back. Ronkia just got off. She was trying to do both. But you can give us a call back, 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534. And we're going to take our last station break for the show, and we'll be back. And caller, if you wanted to still talk about sacrificing ourselves for the American economy, our relationships or whatnot, but we are going to talk about being locked in, not being able to travel to certain places now outside of the United States. So we'll be back after these messages. We're back here on Ebony's Bones, and I'm your host, Ebony Johnson, alongside our co-host, Professor A.J. Lowe. We have Vernon calling from Kansas City. Vernon, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question and our comment.
Yes, I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you.
Okay, I call them the old school. If I'm dating a woman, we going together, I don't mind. She might fit it different with me. Now, when I get married, be fit it then. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you're saying while you're in the courtship phase, you will take care of the bill, but if y'all get married, then it can be a shared experience.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Okay, do you believe that you're running the household, though, once you get married?
No, you know, I'm going to tell you something. No.
Okay.
She go to work like I do. No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm supposed to be the man now. I'm supposed to act like a man. But just because she could work, I don't have the thought to dominate her.
Okay. No, I'm with that. I'm with that because I agree with you. I guess my question is, what is being a man in a relationship, though?
Being in a relationship? Okay. Well, no, we're not married, number one. And I don't have the money. She don't have the money.
Okay.
Now, when we get married, it's a whole different story.
No, I'm saying, what is being a man in a relationship? Like, what is that? What does that mean to you? Like, what does that entail?
Oh, she respect me as a man, I respect her as a lady.
Okay.
Respect me each other.
Okay. I got you.
This is the way I feel about it. I enjoy that program.
Thank you, sir.
All right, appreciate you for listening.
Thank you.
All right. All right, if anyone else wants to get in and weigh in on the conversation, 816-931-5534. Again, 816-931-5534. And we want to move. Ronkia is going to, she's actually going to make a statement for us as she's doing double duty here. And we're going to let her weigh in with another comment here. So, Ms. Ronkia Bates is getting on the mic here to make her comment.
I'm kind of curious on what she's going to say.
Okay. Come on. It's all right. Just go right there.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you just, what was the question you just asked again? Please say that again.
What is a definition? What is a man in a relationship?
Okay.
What is a man and a woman? Now, since you're here, I can ask you. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I feel like the man in a relationship. The man is, you know, he's, you know, I feel like he should have his wife back all the time. You know, he's the one that should always be there. You know, I feel like, dang, this is kind of, I just had it and I lost my thought.
Uh-oh.
I feel like, you know,
he should be the protector.
He should be the protector, but I also feel like you should have a strong woman on your side, too.
I agree.
I feel like it should kind of be both ways. Like, I don't feel like the woman should be weak and then the man should just be the protector. I feel like it should be both ways.
Oh, no, 100%. In fact, I look at women's liberation or women's independence or a strong woman as being absolutely the opposite of what chivalry, of what the ideas of gender roles and chivalry is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want, me personally, I'm like this. If you want me to respect you as strong, then you have to exhibit strong characteristics. You can't expect me to come in and take care of the entire situation and then view you as strong.
Mm-hmm. I also feel, though, especially, and I'm speaking specifically to us black women, the painting us in the scenario of being strong black women to the point that we don't get to express the... Not that we don't get to, but it can... pin us in a position of not when we don't feel like it, or when we do cry, or when we want to fall apart, we don't have the space to do that too, because I experienced the full range of human emotion. Mm-hmm. And to isolate ourselves into certain emotions and not give breath and life to all the rest of them, mm-hmm. it causes toxicity in our own bodies, because each emotion naturally seeks release. How we express that and in which ways we do, you know, varies, and obviously depending on who you are, you know, hopefully we'll learn how to express those safely. But I have felt with certain men that calling and saying, "You a strong black woman." Yeah, but I got feelings that, you know, that hurt too.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, there are times when I ain't feeling like it either. There mm-hmm. are times when maybe I need you to have my back, or maybe I need, you know, I need right. to be comforted, or
sometimes I need you to pick up the pieces for me.
Yeah, or you know, or whatever. Apart. Yeah, but allowing ourselves to be able to feel all of our feelings.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I think it's okay for us to be strong, but we still have emotions. You know, we're all human, so.
But I don't think that showing strength or exhibiting strength means that that's a lack of emotion. Like you said, I don't think that.
I don't think it's a lack of emotion. I'm just saying that becomes the dominating characteristic. If you look at black women in film and in mainstream media, a lot of times we are projected as either really strong or promiscuous. You know, it's like these extreme projections, but not the full range of human emotion.
And that's what I mean, because for me, getting out of ideas or marginalizing myself and what we view as characteristics of what a man is, or characteristics of what a woman is, or characteristics of what chivalry is, I try to get away from all that. And I view women, black women especially, I view all women, but black women especially, as strong. Now, does that mean that you cannot have feelings? Absolutely not. Does that mean that sometimes you ain't going to be able to want to do that? Absolutely. I completely understand that. That does not take away, in my book, that does not take away from your strength. What I'm saying is that if you consider yourself strong, then do not marginalize yourself or try to put me in a box with traditional gender roles and traditional chivalry.
You want the same thing. Right. You have the full range of emotion as well.
Right. It's, yeah, absolutely.
We just have like 7 minutes left. Man. I know, right? People, you can still call in. This is, if you're just tuned in, this is Ebony's Bones. I'm your host, Ebony Johnson, alongside our historian and professor, AJ Lowe, and mm-hmm. Rykia Bates is in the studio and taking your calls too. Hey. On the other side of the glass. You can give us a call at 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534. I want to get into the notion of us being locked in.
Yes. Do you travel?
And
I haven't really traveled lately.
Do you be traveling? I mean, I travel.
I know. Okay, come on, go with it.
I do a lot of international traveling because I like to see the rest of the world, and I like to see how the rest of the world does things that the United States does. You know, I think of as backwards, like the not using the metric system. Like, I think that is something that we need to start doing. But when you're put in a position and you see everything looks exactly the same except certain things, I appreciate that. But the fact that we can't go anywhere because we don't have this coronavirus under control is frustrating me, because I can't use my passport. My passport is useless.
Well, here's my question on that, though. Because the coronavirus is going on all over the world, do you really want to travel?
I mean, no, not right now. I mean, but then again, if you look at the rest of the world, has this coronavirus thing. Like, what was it? Italy didn't have any deaths for like 3 or 4 days. No, I take that back. That was New York.
They didn't have any. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and go ahead with your question or comment.
Wesley calling from Kansas.
Thanks, Wesley.
You just expression about the showing emotion. Well, we go back to the days old. The woman raised the kids, the man went out and did the hunting. If the man showed emotion, the animal can sense weakness. So he learned not to show weakness. Where the woman was there, and she showed.
So who was in the house?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Who would run the house in that situation?
I don't know what I'm telling you.
I said, who would run the house in that situation?
The woman would run the house.
Okay, I'm with that.
Because she made me.
Okay, I'm with that. I agree with you. I'm
she
with that.
She told me my baby boy took me out and circumcised me and put mud on it and told me I had to kill a lion before I come back home.
Thank you, Wesley. We appreciate it.
All right.
You can still give us a call here in our last 4 minutes at 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534.
So, yeah, this whole coronavirus situation is upsetting because I can't go anywhere. This is the first time in several years that I'm bound to the United States. And not only that, it's what I find fascinating is that people can't stop. They cannot turn down a $50 flight to go fly to a hotspot like Texas or Arizona.
But I just don't know that even people want to call, want to travel so much because of what's going on. I mean, I know people are, but I'm just saying, because you're talking about being out here. And so if you go somewhere else, you're still traveling. We do have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name, where you're calling from. Uh-oh. Well, I guess they didn't hold on there or got disconnected somehow. Caller, you can give us a call back in the last couple of minutes here, 816-931-5534. What I'm saying about the travel thing is, though, we just said, are we sacrificing ourselves for the economy? And we're talking about us being out and being in open places, and you don't want us to do that here. So then if you go and travel, are you just going to stay in a hotel room?
Who, me? No, I mean, I'm not going to travel until this thing is okay. Exactly. I don't want to get on anybody's airplane until this is taken care of.
Yeah. But I think one of the things that, for me, that it brings up, and for other people as well, is the stark realization that if I wanted to go certain places, that we couldn't. You know what I mean?
That's like what hurt my feelings.
That we're in a scenario where people are looking at the way that we're operating and saying, we are closed off to you.
Right.
And on the flip side of that, I've heard stories of people who are Americans and they're in these other countries and they're like, you know, and so they're just stuck there.
Right. And my mother said something that really had me really thinking. She talked about how Americans, we just want things to get back to some type of old normal, not realizing or not accepting the fact that the old normal is never really going to happen again. And I called it American fragility. We are fragile as Americans to try to get back to where we were and to the point to where now I know people that have said, hey, that have actually came to me and said, so you wouldn't take a $50 flight to so-and-so and get a free room in Vegas? No. But the way that they're presenting it is like, well, I actually thought about this. I actually really considered doing this.
I'm sure people have, because if you haven't been able to go to some of these places because of money, and now they're so inexpensive and you can, but the irony of the situation is that now it's dangerous, but it's cheap to do it. You know, it can be a thought for some people's minds. I'm not saying right, wrong, good or bad. I'm just saying it is.
And I'm saying, think about what that does. Think about what that says to the rest of the world, to say that this coronavirus, all we had to do was stay inside, our economy is going to hurt.
They're more than likely thinking that Americans can't take anything serious.
Nope.
And that we take everything, you know, we think everything is just all fun and games. They, you know, we got a president that, you know, represents us in that way.
And we got a major issue with information. We have a major
issue. We do have a major issue
with information.
I want to give the final release to, if somebody wants to call in, we'll take one more caller at 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. Professor Lowe, expound on that a little bit more about our issue with information, because there is so much. There are people believable on both sides. I will say that I have seen professionals, and this is not new. This is, you know, that's been the situation for a lot of things. You can get two doctors in the room on the same subject and they may agree on some things, but they disagree in significant areas. And in this scenario, I have seen information that supports one way of thinking of everybody needs to wear masks, we should just, you know, stay in, we need to do X, Y, and Z. And then I've heard other people who talk about how beneficial are these masks really? And if the masks themselves say this isn't going to prevent you from getting the disease, or if this is that and the other, and then they list their facts, you know? Well, and so it's information to support a lot of thoughts, actually.
And that's what I mean. Like, people are just finding, they're looking for words or statements that support their ideology, as opposed
to, everybody can say that.
What I'm saying is that the issue we have with information is that Americans are searching for, and again, some type of normality to the situation. It's not for a normality that's not going to come. So what we start doing is we start reaching out there for, okay, well, this person says this and this person says this, so I could pick and choose who I'm going to believe. When in the all reality, the best words we can use right now is, I don't know. We don't know about this virus. We don't know anything about this. This of the equivalent of the coronavirus is what AIDS was in the 1980s. We do not know about this. So to profess, oh yeah, well, I know about this, or I got this, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, if you don't have a PhD, or if you're not a doctor in pandemic studies, or a medical doctor, I'm really not really giving too much ears to you, because all you're doing is regurgitating somebody else's information, and it could be bad information. Like, anybody that's saying, okay, well, don't wear a mask, we've gotten to the point now where we could actually show that these masks actually cut down. It won't eliminate it, but it's just like I said, I equate mask wearing to condom use when it came to the AIDS virus. It's not going to stop it, but it's going to drastically help your chances on not contracting this whole thing. So wear the mask. But we have people out here saying, well, why should I wear the mask? Oh, you think that mask is going to completely stop it? As excuses on why we present it as excuses on why we shouldn't be wearing masks. That's asinine.
And other people would say differently. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But I think sometimes that's something that we don't want to, address either, that sometimes with a lot of cases we don't know. Caller, we got 10 seconds. Go ahead with your name. Yeah, go ahead with your name, where you're calling from, your question or comment.
I'm booking y'all, but it's Wesley again. You said you don't know where the virus come from. Anybody believe that nature won't fight back, restoring the water and air and animals and plant life? You don't believe nature will fight back?
I hear you. Fight back.
All right, thanks so much for calling in. Thank you to everybody for tuning in with us. This has been Ebony's Bones, and we've had a lot of fun today, and we appreciate y'all for participating. Stay tuned for American Roots with Nick Spitzer, and then later, Classical Challenge. Have a beautiful evening, everybody.
Yes.